You're listening to the History of Detroit Radio on WDRQ Detroit. This is Michael Benner. Nightly from 7 till midnight, I'll be bringing you the most interesting news I can find. News that matters. News you'll want to hear. Because news should be interesting, we've committed ourselves to presenting fast, factual news that will concern, delight, amaze, and amuse you. WDRQ is making history with the Motor City's first all-news radio station. So get involved. Find out what's going on. For up-to-the-minute news from Detroit and around the world, be on cue with me from 7 till midnight. WDRQ FM 93.1 in Detroit.
$5,000 cash could be yours, and all you have to do is answer your phone with I Listen to the Good News on WDRQ FM. We could be calling you, so remember, when your phone rings, don't say hello. Say I Listen to the Good News on WDRQ FM and win $5,000.
Radio pioneer Gordon McLendon bought WDTM in 1966, and within 1 year the call letters were changed to WWWFM, and the format was changed from classical to lush. Former general manager of W4, Jack Danahy, remembers what the station was aiming to do to the Detroit market.
The aims for W4, I guess very simply put, were to provide a service to the radio listener in Detroit, to fill a need as well, even though at the time on FM there were WLDM, WOMC, virtually the only two viable FM radio stations on the dial at that time, 1967, 68. WQTE on AM was providing, in quotes, a good music service. And WJBK from time to time would dabble in a semi-good music sound, or more classified as MOR. So I guess the aims of W4 back then in 67 coming on the air were not only to provide a music service, but to provide a radio station that would provide information, even if news were only them stations, we're not doing. They're playing wall-to-wall music. To play music, good music, but not take itself seriously. Almost a good music station with a sense of humor.
Jack Danahy, what was W4 doing that WOMC and WLDM were not doing in the field of good music?
First of all, the million-dollar call letters, WWWW, are so simple to think about now in retrospect. You know, why didn't anybody else ever think of it? That might give a clue to the tone of voice of the good music radio station W4 at that time. Very basically, we'd have fun with the call letters themselves. We'd come on very pretentious sounding and say, this is MMMM. It's WWWW, upside down. Or sigma, 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 sigma. In Greek, it's W4 sideways. Tongue-in-cheek, very subtle, very humor-filled radio station playing good music. Some of the contests we would run, and we tried for spontaneity at that time, too. I remember one specific contest. It had rained here in Detroit, as it does during the summer, or virtually all summer, it seems, sometimes. It rained here for about 5 days straight, and everybody was kidding about, you know, somebody building an ark and getting Detroiters on the ark 2x2 and floating off somewhere down Lake Erie toward Cleveland. So we were sitting around the station one rainy night and came up with an idea. Well, let's put a thing on the air for the weekend woodworker, build your own ark. And we took the passage from the Bible and gave the directions as so many cubits by so many cubits. And for additional blueprints, write W4. So we got so many requests for that, listeners who went along with the tongue-in-cheek humor of the station, that we had to mimeograph directions and humorous mimeographed blueprints. It was a very, very funny radio station, I thought.
Was the move of W4 from good music to an oldies format a smart move?
When W4 came on the air, as I said, virtually there were only WLDM and WOMC providing a good music service. The rest of the FM dial was virtually dead, nothing being done at all. By the time W4 had convinced every other operator in town that they had better get up and do something, which they eventually did, promoting more. I think W4 was the first radio station, FM station in town, to act like an AM radio station. Had the audacity to put its name on billboards. So the dial became proliferated with other good music radio stations promoting as well as W4. And we saw more promotion by OMC, more promotion by LDM. The change to an oldie format I thought was a natural, but the same thing has occurred now. W4 led the way with a change to oldies, again filling a need for a different kind of music, a different kind of entertainment, setting its service toward a generation or demographic group between 24 and 40 that wasn't being serviced at all by any of the stations. The Rockers had the 25 and under. The JRs and the MORs had the 35, 45 plus. Those people in the middle were not served. So W4 came in at a good time with the oldie format. But now you've got JRFM, you've got a semi-oldie thing in Stereo Island Keener, you've got a lot of oldies on ABX, you've got, again, a proliferation of oldie stations now. But at the time, when W4 went oldie, it was a natural.
Former W4 General Manager Jack Dennehy. John Dew is now General Manager at W4, the station officially called WWWW, but that's hard to say. That's the station that brought life to the FM dial about a year and a half ago. John was a record spinner in the early 60s at WXYZ, and he remembers the good old days.
WXYZ and Broadcast House out on 10 Mile Road, which was the first, you know, beautiful broadcast facility of its kind to incorporate radio and television and the entire works all under one roof on, you know, a huge plot of ground moving way out from the city. I guess it was one of the first to flee the city, so to speak. Anyway, in the move out there, they obviously had a big turnover in employees, and that got me the break and an opportunity to go to work in the mailroom and a chance to work in radio. At that time, heroes in radio that I came across and was able to deliver mail to, which gave me all kinds of thrills, included Mickey Shore, Ed McKenzie, who else was on at that time? Fred Wolf, of course, Paul Winter. from there, it progressed, you know, and the next thing, I was a record spinner. At that time, remotes were a very big deal, and I was there a total of 6 years, and the most exciting period to me, though, was at WXYZ, was during the early 60s, when it was a very, very alive, exciting top 40, so to speak, in that they played all the top hits, but they also had personality, and to me, that's where radio is at.
On WXYZ and the Madcap Murphy Show!
Let's go! How about that weather, huh? 39 degrees, and we've got all the music for you till 9:30.
The All-Americans have all the music. Channel 127 WXYZ.
Make this for some kind of guys and gals in Mount Clemens, Michigan tonight. Lots of letters from Mike Clemens. They say, Lee, when are you coming to see us?
The All-American Go-Go Team on Swing at 12-7 WXYZ.
Go-Go Lee.
Here's the twin spin on XYZ.
Wixie twin spin.
I'm telling you now.
60 minutes past 2 on Wixie.
Remember.
Connie Francis knows where the boys are on All-American Radio, 24 and a half past 10 and 22 degrees. WXYZ, easy listening.
I still think very fondly back to the days when the lineup was Fred Wolf in the morning, Paul Winter, Joel Sebastian, Lee Allen, Don Z, guys with real identities, with real talent that could say something other than time and temperature and call letters.
In 1963, John Dew hosted his own show.
A station started up in Ypsilanti, WYSI it was called at that time. Some of the people from XYZ were involved in, they had left, but I had known them through XYZ, and they were involved in the ownership and so forth. So to make a long story short, I got a job there on the weekends doing a Sunday afternoon show. There were some listeners, because I remember one Sunday, I was on there, you know, playing disc jockey and spinning records, and Dave Prince at that time was doing a Sunday afternoon show on WXYZ, and of course Dave was a very good friend. And I made a comment on the air out there in the boondocks, and I said something to the effect that poor Dave Prince is a very lonely guy, and he's sitting spinning some records in the studio and no one there to talk to, and probably no one listening to him, and why doesn't everyone call him? And I gave the studio number out on the air. And the switchboard was flooded with calls, and Dave didn't know what the heck was going on, because suddenly he's doing a show on the air at WXYZ, and he's getting calls from all over the place from Ypsilanti, Michigan.
You are hearing the sound that reigns supreme. In southeastern Michigan, it's WYSI, 1480 on your dial, Ypsilanti, Michigan.
We talk with John about Club 1270.
Club 1270 came about around 1962 or 3, as I recall. XYZ Radio, you know, was very successful. Joel Sebastian and Lee Allen were, you know, top-notch, big-name personalities in the market. And with the success of the teen dance parties, and XYZ Television had done this in the past with Ed McKenzie and with Mickey Shore and some other people. But anyway, with the success of American Bandstand on the network, they felt there was an outlet in local television for a show geared to the young adults or teens. And what better way to do it than to put on two of the big names, two teens, Lee Allen and Joel Sebastian. And Club 1270 was born. It was, for a local dance party show, created a lot of excitement.
We wondered, too, why Club 1270 went off the air.
Some things happened. Joel Sebastian left the market, went to New York, and Lee was doing the show. And then Lee left WXYZ, and Dave Prince did the show, and I think did an excellent job. The reason the show went off the air was simply that it had been on for quite some time. It had been a successful show, but it was in a situation on Saturdays and later on Sundays where ABC was carrying more and more sports. The network was getting in more and more sports activity. So they were carrying college football on Saturdays. On Sundays, as I recall, they were doing Wide World of Sports and some other things, football games, American Football League. And it was bouncing the show around, so it was never on at the same time. One week it'd be on at 2 o'clock, one week at 6:30. And there was no way you could sell it effectively commercially and at the same time get any kind of ratings for it. And it killed the show. And that's really, I think, the main reason that it died.
John's comments concerning Detroit radio in general were quite positive.
The Detroit radio market, it feel definitely that there's a swing back away from the tight format. I think these things go in cycles. I've seen it happen before. A tightly formatted, now I'm talking contemporary primarily, very successful, and then all of a sudden there's a shift for a few years or whatever away from that and into personality. And I think that's where we're headed right now. I think the success of the underground station WABX, for example, it's breaking every rule in the book in terms of programming. They don't identify. They don't use jingles. They don't do this. They don't do that. And they're very successful.
John Dew, general manager now at W4.
I'm delighted with the progress the station has made. Our main appeal is nostalgia. We're programming, of course, primarily oldies but goodies. With personality, so far I've been delighted with the success.
W4's program director, Ira J. Cook, started here with WHFI and remembers it well.
I first got the notice that I was going to be able to start at WHFI about a half hour before we started on the show, which was the first night that Lee Allen started at WHFI. A very good friend of mine named Larry Lawson, who's done a lot of things with Dick Burton. I guess he's the story lady now and doing a lot of things with Dick. We were trying to figure out at the time some way for him to utilize his talents and for us to get together and have a good time and entertain America. And we finally came up with the idea that we shouldn't really have any kind of certain standardized bit. We should try to get an all-encompassing character and something that we wouldn't get bored of, something we can throw any kind of garbage into and it would just kind of be fun. And that's how Mama Bushka was born.
So what was the play like?
I went backstage and I chatted with some of the performers and they told me some inside theater information.
Like what?
Well, like you should never borrow money from midgets.
Why not?
They're usually short themselves.
Ma, that was a low joke.
A very good friend of mine named Larry Lawson.
I really enjoy doing Ma Babushka, but I think that one of our favorite things was the Dragway commercials where Ira and I would be worked into a total frenzy.
One of my earlier kicks in life had always been hearing the Sunday, Sunday, Detroit Dragway, back and forth and back and forth. And we thought this was an excellent jumping off point for some satire. So we just took the basic idea of, well, what would happen if other businesses and other make-believe organizations use the dragway style, and we came out with our kind of pseudo-dragway spot.
Detroit radio veteran Robert Seymour talks about Ira J. Cook.
I did hear, though, the many nice things he used to do in conjunction with our Detroit dragway spots when he did takeoffs on them, and that was always very heartwarming.
Tuesday morning at the Ferndale Dragway! You must not fail to see the famous West Coast dual exhaust super overhead clamshack Volkswagen nicknamed the Terror, driven by Robin Seymour! You must see it! It is fantastic!
He revs his motor to 12 zillion RPM! Hot for clutch, I collect whiplash insurance for 26 years!
You'll see dragsters at speeds up to 12,000 miles per hour!
Cars 75 feet long and 8 inches tall.
You'll see the United States Senate Truth and Advertising Committee confiscate this commercial. Hey,
take 8 Mile Road to 9 Mile Road and turn on.
You cannot miss it. You must not miss it.
I suppose you can miss it if you want to.
Yes, if you really wanted to miss it, you could. You know, if you don't want to see it, you don't want to see it.
The thing that really amazed me was that everything that we were doing on the show was completely non-commercial. Absolutely no commercial potential at all.
Ira's opinion of Detroit radio?
I'm really excited by some of the things that I hear permeating the airwaves throughout the Michigan area. Some very, very inventive production has been done. Larry Miller, who used to do some things at WABX-FM before he went out to the coast, was doing some excellent production. Just some new ideas.
Ira J. Cook, WHFI. Ira J. Cook, WHFI. Ira J. Cook, WHFI.
Ira J. Cook, WHFI.
Ira J. Cook, WHFI.
Ira J. Cook, WHFI.
Ira J. Cook, WHFI.
Ira J. Cook, WHFI.
Ira J. Cook, WHFI.
Ira J. Cook,
When I got the opportunity to come to W4, it really flipped me out because here we had a station that already had the kind of audience that I was trying to appeal to. I mean, there's the rock audience and the people who are kind of interested in some forms of communications other than just strictly music. And ever since we came, we've been trying to little by little sneak in some more weirdness. And I think in about 6 to 9 months, we should really start achieving the main goal that I have for W4, and that is to make it a real joy to listen to. Most of all, little by little, I see the reemergence of radio as an art form.
Ira J. Cook, W4. Paul Winter, W4's morning DJ, is a Detroit radio veteran. He recalls just for you the days of unformatted radio.
Well, I have earlier memories of WXYZ than those including Joel and Lee and Dave. Those memories do include Fred, Wolf, of course, but also Ed McKenzie, Mickey Shore, John Slagle, Sleepyhead Ted. Anybody remember Sleepyhead Ted? That was back in 1952, actually, when first I went to WXYZ. So that those memories span a good many people and also include the last 2 years of the Lone Ranger live from the old Jefferson Avenue studios. That would be at Jefferson and Iroquois. Now it's a supermarket, but so are a lot of things.
You'll have to go.
Jim Reeves reminding you he'll have to go. The Rascals and Everybody's Gotta Be Free. Just before that on W4, presenting Answers Worth Knowing and Gardens Worth Hoeing today from noon to infinity. Yeah, but it's hot, it's hot. So is he.
In those days, though, as you probably know, radio was considerably different than it later became in the era of Sebastian, Alan, Prince, myself, and Mickey Shore. And the difference, substantially, was between the earlier unstructured, non-formatted and unformulated and formularized days and the later top 40 rock days, beginning about 58 for us and extending through until, the present time for almost everybody.
We wondered why it was that Paul left Detroit radio in 1964.
Well, I went from XYZ to Boston. That is CBS, WEEI, and that's talk station, of course, still is and was then, after 3 months of being there. I went into the talk business and enjoyed it immensely for the next 5 years. Those 5 years, including WTAK, which no longer exists in this market. As a matter of fact, there isn't any respectable talk station in this area, either all news or a talk of any other kind. The kind that I have in mind, of course, is a controversial kind that we did for so long. I miss it, of course. Unfortunately, there isn't any of it to do here. If there were, I suppose I might be doing it, although that's hard to say because I've really turned my attention in the long run to television and mostly in public television. So it's hard to say what I'd do if that kind of talk availability were here. I think it's a pity that it's not.
Winter remembered many interesting times at WTAK when he was a local talker.
My strongest recollection of my own experience at WTAK, of course, came during the urban disturbance, 1967, when we were on the air only on one topic, what was happening, and dispensing, for the most part, information to people who were in trouble, in pain, and in conflict.
Paul Winter's viewpoint of Detroit radio is...
Well, that's a hard question for me to answer, because I don't think that I experience it except in terms of what I do on the air in the morning in W4. I don't experience it so massively as to be able to evaluate it. I think that radio in the present term is much more varied in terms of what people can get, all the way from FM religion through classical music, with whatever you find in between on FM, and you find a lot. AM radio's most part a bore, I think. And so is most of FM, for that matter. And so is most of radio, for that matter. And so is most of television. I think there are islands, and I don't know any other way to put it, related to personal taste, and the more of those that we get satisfied, the better I feel.
Well, yeah, hot you, hot. Jerry Reed right there, that reminds me, for all of you W4 folk there, of the time I went to the track once. Got on a Woodward streetcar when the horses were running over to the old fairgrounds. Said to my friend Mel, I said, I won't tell you his last name, well-known person, said to my friend Mel, we'll go out to the track there, and we'll make enough money so we can underwrite a magazine. That's what I said, and he said to me, that's what we'll do. So we got on the Woodward streetcar after consulting with a tipster who gave us the favorites in the last four races, and there we were at the fairgrounds watching these horses run, and we didn't know one end from another. So we decided there was only one way to handle it, and that was to bet on every horse in the last four races. We lost $4.
Yesterday. Since I've always been and will continue to be what I call a conflict or competition liberal, which is to say, for those of us in that tradition, that the goal, I guess, in any society is to get as many interests as you possibly can satisfied without tearing a society apart. The more the merrier. And that's what I would hope for radio, the more the merrier. And the more courage, the better.
Paul Winter, W4's morning man. W4's Joey Ryan feels FM is going to happen in Detroit.
I'm looking forward to, I guess as the whole staff is here at W4, to FM happening in Detroit and us making FM happen in Detroit as it's happened in New York at WOR. And I think that AM realizes it. I think that the AM personalities in Detroit and the AM programmers are realizing that FM is a potential threat, if I can use that word, or competition other than threat, that maybe it won't kill them, but it's going to take a big big piece of the action with the FM radios coming into town. A lot of different people I've known in Detroit, for example, people like Dick Purton, I think will be hard to beat. J.P. McCarthy, of course, is going to be hard to beat on WJR. But FM is going to happen in this town. And I don't say it just because I'm working at an FM radio station.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears, 1970 Gold. And the thing always looked, Creature McKeeville, you're just such a bad lady. Here's Jerry Reed at 904 from W4 with Joey. And Jerry says,
well, now me and Homer Jones and Big John Talley had a big crap gig going back in the alley. And I kept rolling in for them.
There's just so much that listeners have. There's just so much offered. But the competition in this market, I think, is going to be very tough, as it would be in bigger markets, for example, like New York and Los Angeles. The competition's going to be very keen, and I think we're going to see a lot of different stations rising and falling.
That was W4's Joey Ryan. Former W4 DJ Tony Ryan admired station president Gordon McLendon.
Gordon McLendon is an absolute genius. He's got this reputation for predicting in which direction radio is going to move, like months ahead of time. He predicted the nostalgia boom in putting W4 on the air. I mean, look at No No Nanette now in New York. The revival of that 1930 show is a solid hit. Tickets are going $50 a pair from the scalpers. And McLendon was there a couple months early with W4. We all knew it would work because when you start fooling around with people's memories and emotions, you build up a strong radio station.
WWW Detroit presents another hour of great oldies but goodies.
W4 Stereo.
Good morning to you. This is Thursday, May 21st, 1970, on Stereo 106.
W4 Stereo. Detroit weather.
Here's what we expect today. Fair and warm through Friday. High today in the mid-80s. Low tonight in the lower 60s. Tomorrow's expected high in the upper 80s. We may even reach 90. Right now in Detroit, it's 62. With Frankie Avalon.
It seems that every couple of months there's a shakeup in Detroit radio, and there's a new wave of changeovers. Every couple of months, though, there's something happening in Detroit.
Former W4 broadcaster Tony Ryan. Casey Kasem, host of the nationally syndicated program American Top 40, is a Detroiter and offered this opinion of the Motor City Radio.
Well, I've always felt Detroit radio was strong radio. I think there's some good people who have left Detroit to go on to do some very important things, and I think that there are people in Detroit who are you know, very, very capable and could make it anywhere they went. That's from, you know, WJR right on down to WJLB. And I don't say down to WJLB, I'm talking about wattage now, you know. I think that Detroit is a very, very strong radio market and always has been. And you can, you know, switch your dial on any station and hear good people. And that's not true of all the radio markets around the country. Detroit is one of the exceptional radio markets, I believe.
We'll take a look and listen at the so-called good music stations and the newer style of soft rock music on WKNR-FM. That's in the upcoming segment of Detroit Radio, Then, Now, and Tomorrow.
The history of Detroit radio on WDRQ Detroit. The station which will become a part of that history beginning Monday morning is Detroit's first total information station. This is Frank Beckman, and I'll be busy bringing you news on Q while you're busy fighting the afternoon traffic on the way home. We'll have the light side and the heavy side of both good and bad news, but I'll guarantee it'll always be interesting. Q News is quality and quickness. We'll get the news first while telling the story right. You can count on Q. We're an all-news station because we present all the news. But we also have other features on Q. We'll keep you informed with conversation programs where your opinion is what really matters. And there's sports, comprehensive and complete. Where will the new stadium really be built, and when, how, and why is so much politicking being done on the issue? Well, chances are you'll learn first on Q. If the news is in Detroit, Canton, Ohio, Quebec, or Cambodia, you'll get it on Q. We're sort of the melting pot of Detroit radio, the most exciting concept ever to come to Detroit. WDRQ, Detroit's first total information station, beginning Monday morning.
Next time your telephone rings, don't answer with hello. Answer with I listen to the good news on WDRQ-FM. If we're calling you on the air, you'll win $5,000 cash. Remember, when your phone rings, don't say hello. Say I listen to the good news on WDRQ-FM and win $5,000 cash.